Ladies and gentlemen, a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, if you could have silenced a cocktail party just by saying you had a friend in the securities business, everybody would be, you know, leaning over to find out what hot tip you had. And now you can silence an entire cocktail party by saying you have a friend in the security business. That's how much, really, things have changed an enormous, well, beginning of this year, beginning of 2001, we were all excited, looking forward to a brand new football league, the XFL, which boasted players who didn't put their own names on their jerseys, but put nicknames. Who will ever forget, "He Hate Me"? And now, mere months later, we are 3.5 months into a situation best described by Dan Rather on the David Letterman show as, "They hate us." See what I'm saying? See the journey we're making? And yet we strive for normalcy. And normalcy, I think, is within our grasp. It was shortly after September 11th that the first tentative steps back were made. We were told we would get pro football, but without the sound effects. You know how everything that happens on the screen now in a sporting event or in news coverage has to be accompanied by a sound. Those, when the scores whoosh on, they don't whoosh. The machine that moves them onto the screen makes no noise. Those noises are added. And for the first week or two after September 11th, they didn't add those noises. Now they're back. And just in the last week or so, the theme tunes for all the programs on CNN have been restored. For 2.5 months, those programs came on without themes. Now they're back. It's getting to be normal around here one more time. So, ladies and gentlemen, today we limb the journey from trauma to melodrama. Life after 9/11 on this Year in Rebuke edition of Hello, Welcome to the Show.
Noble Eagle? Well, all of a sudden you know the code words.
Let's trace this call, please.
Hey, 43, it's 41. You don't need
to... What's your clearance code?
Well, you never gave me one. You said it was, thinking these were your exact words, about as important as the rules telling you how they vote for the Oscars.
All right, 41, that was a different time, a different situation, a different me.
Yeah.
I haven't been this serious, this focused, this determined since the fourth time I quit drinking.
Listen, you don't have to tell me. Watched your speech, saw the difference. You were a man up there, boy.
Yeah. Karen Hughes said she thought I showed steely resolve. Those were her words, steely resolve. In my book, that's a home run.
Well, like I told you last week, if you cut down on the ad-libs and just stick to the text, it's amazing how serious you can sound.
I think in all fairness, my off-the-cuff remarks have been pretty on the cuff, you know. I only said this was a crusade once, and I understand that's offensive to certain people, but... only one offensive statement under all this pressure, you know.
Yeah.
I'm doing a hell of a lot better than Jerry Falwell.
No, you are, and you got a good team.
Uh-huh.
Colin is seasoned.
Oh, he's great. Mm-hmm. You know, always counseling caution, you know. It's great to have one of those around.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us are sitting here trying to swing for the fences. Colin is saying, just bunt the damn thing, you know. Good man.
Yeah, Cheney's top notch, of course.
Oh, listen, when we were deciding who to take to the bunker and who to fly around, you know, I said, hey, take Dick to the bunker. You know, he's our man. And he'll show you the kind of stuff he's made of. He agreed with me?
Yep. So, know you're going to do this right. Just want to make sure you remember what Gorbachev said about fighting in the Afghan. It's like root canal that never ends.
I know. Empire of graveyards.
Graveyard of empires.
Yep.
So, build your coalition carefully.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, question about that.
Uh-huh.
Saudi Arabia, in or out? What do you think?
Well, tough call. The conservatism of the regime is provocative to Islamic militants, but on the other hand, been a staunch friend.
I'm just pulling your leg. They're way in. You know, got to have a moment of levity along the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't worry, 41. I know you can be at 90% in the esteem of your countrymen one day and still lose the next election. I've never forgotten that.
Well, me neither.
So I'm not going to be satisfied with a stand-up triple, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay. But, look, here's one thing that you could do. We found worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
Drove Saddam Hussein nuts when I kept calling him Saddam.
Mm-hmm. See,
every time you call him Osama bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
you're wasting a genuine opportunity to tick the man off.
Call him Osama bin Laden, you mean?
Bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
you know, just a lot of possibilities, just something.
Okay, but generally, 41, not fishing here,
mm-hmm.
you know, really want you to, you know, have you give it to me straight. I'm doing this pretty darn well, aren't I?
Yeah.
I mean, getting support from everybody from Tom Daschle to the president of Pakistan, showing, like I said, showing steely resolve in the speech, all the rest of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And yet, God bless him, Rudy Giuliani is batting in the cleanup slot. You know what I mean? He's the man.
He's the one getting all the kudos.
Oh, I don't mind that, but... But no, I do mind that if kudos are what I think they are.
They're plaudits.
That's right. Well, look, it doesn't bother me. You know, I've found my mission. I know my purpose. I've discovered my anointment.
And your time to shine will come, my friend.
Yeah.
Swear to God, just mispronounce bin Laden's name and he'll start having more of the heft of a Giuliani.
You think? I mean, I can't have as many press conferences as that man's having. I'm busy getting briefed.
Look, 43, it's easy for him to look strong. All he has to do to seem like he's doing something is to ask you for money. You've got a war or something to run, you know? A little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit more challenging.
That's right.
He's at his peak. I'm still just embracing my destiny right now.
There you go.
Okay, I'll just visualize that, and I'll be fine.
So look,
mm-hmm.
gonna be a lot of pressure on you.
I know it. We're not playing this game between the lines.
Yeah, so within the bounds of national security and not wanting to step on anybody's toes,
mm-hmm.
if you want to bounce anything off of me.
I appreciate that, 41.
Yeah.
I will seek your wisdom, your patient counsel, your steely resolve, and I'll tell you one thing.
What's that?
The next time a reporter tries to trap me and ask me who's the president of Pakistan, I'm ready for him.
You take good care, 43.
You too. Love to Barbara.
Well, Reverend Jackson, I have to admit something to you.
Uh-huh.
I've been in New York since the days when the subway was still above ground, and I'd never heard of this restaurant.
Well, Mike, there are many times when a public person needs a private place.
Mm.
Nobody who doesn't go to the Rucker Games knows about this place. This is deep as Harlem.
Well, I kind of figured that out when my limo driver said he'd wait for me at 96th Street.
Def Ham has been here since the mid-1980s, and all that time the only disturbance that's ever occurred here was one night when the fat fryer went on the fritz.
All right, well, you can guide me through the menu, Reverend, while we beat around the bush before getting down to brass tacks.
Mike, you combine a rare and refreshing candor, the flair for the familiar phrase.
Thank you. Braised pig butt.
That's actually the butt of the shoulder.
Mm.
They like putting people are a little bit back on their heels with the menu here.
So pork cheeks.
Just the same part of the pig that the ham comes from. Mm. I know you eat ham.
Yes. And pig testicles?
Mm-hmm. That's really pig testicles. They're very crunchy.
Yes, well, why wouldn't they be?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Reverend, are we going to Afghanistan or not?
Mike, I've talked to the Taliban.
As have I.
All right. Have you talked to Mullah Omar?
I have not.
All right, then. What we've gotten them to do so far is to withhold denial that they invited me. You know, a trip of 10,000 miles begins with a single step.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken that step.
Yes, well, because obviously 60 Minutes remains extremely interested in sending a crew along with you.
And what, you'd fly to the Pakistan border to do the wraparounds?
Well, I might actually go into Afghanistan, you know, for an hour or so.
Uh-huh.
If I didn't, Dan Rather would never let me hear the end of it. You know, it's been at least 15 years since Brother Rather went to Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
He still hasn't had his safari jacket cleaned.
Well, let me put my cards where the sun do shine, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
ABC wants to come with us, and they want it bad. You know, they'd have Ted Koppel get a crew cut if they could cover Operation Pash.
Operation Pash?
Uh-huh. The leading ethnic group in Afghanistan are the Pashtun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we honor them. We honor all ethnicities.
Well, of course, ABC's a fine organization.
Uh-huh.
You know, personally, I think they've been leaning a little pro-Sharpton in their coverage.
What do you mean?
Oh, you know, just an interview here, a profile there that tends to play Al Sharpton as the new Jesse Jackson. Crackling pig toes.
Yeah, that's literal, too.
Oh.
The new Jesse Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the old model was ready to be traded in. I can't make assurances about the rest of the chassis, but I can assure you the dipstick is in perfect condition.
Well, you know, obviously we're going to call this as we see it, straight down the middle. I mean, that's why we still have a shred of our credibility left, but, you know, it goes without saying, when Michael Mann makes the film version of all of this, I would think you'd probably be played by Denzel.
Uh-huh. Or Fishburne.
Yeah. The fricassee of hog scrotum?
I haven't had that.
Mm.
That comes in a very rich gravy here. I don't think my heart needs that.
Uh-huh. I don't think my heart needs to eat at all right now. But so look, that's it? Only ABC's in this game?
Well, of course, I have family loyalty to CNN. You know, they've kept my show on for a long time without anybody noticing.
Oh,
so
please, Reverend, CNN.
Well,
I mean, their so-called stars are the people we fired. You know, I'm sorry, but Paula Zahn couldn't read the coffee maker, let alone the teleprompter.
Well,
that's not what you want on a mission of this seriousness.
Well, of course it is serious.
Mm-hmm.
There are 8 Western civilians to be brought home. You know, I did think I might stop off in Bangkok on the way back, and I tell you that now because that's not open for coverage.
No, of course.
All right.
Well, look, shall I tell my fearless leader that we have an understanding?
Well, you're going to order something, aren't you?
Well,
I mean, it would hurt their feelings terribly if the great Mike Wallace didn't eat something while he was here.
All right, I'll have the pork bisque.
That's a good choice, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's going to be a couple weeks before we can get all the whatever the letters they have in their alphabet dotted and or crossed. You know, that's plenty of time for us to work all this out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my one concern about doing an exclusive with CBS is I don't want this mission to end up looking like Jesse Jackson goes on Survivor.
No, believe me, Reverend. As I think we've proved during these last couple of weeks, we're still capable of projecting a certain amount of dignity when we put our minds to it, and we're pressed to the wall.
All right, Michael, I think aside from various parts of the pig, we're talking the same language here.
Yes, sir.
This would be 60 Minutes, not 60 Minutes 2.
That's what I'm empowered to offer, yes, sir.
Because that's a deal breaker.
No, look, if you want to wait before ordering, I can make a cell phone call from here.
No, that's fine. I think we're fine.
Huh?
You know, Mike, we go back a long way.
Well,
back to the time when I was saving souls and you were selling cigarettes. Tell you what, let's eat.
I'll just have a Diet Coke.
And then just when we thought we had one emergency in hand, there came another.
Yeah, I'll call you back. Yeah.
Our inspections.
I will definitely call you back.
All right, thank you.
All right, folks. Folks, I think we should get this meeting started before lunchtime gets too close. You probably know Mike Cheever from some previous work he's done for us here at Amtrak. His people came up with the name Metroliner for the Metroliner. And they did some great work, as a matter of fact, on the project to rename the 20th Century Limited before we unfortunately discontinued that product. He's with us today to discuss what I guess would have to qualify as an emergency situation. But before I get too deep into it, I'm going to let Mike take it from here.
Thanks, Steve, and good morning to all of my colleagues there at Amtrak headquarters. First, let me say that those of us at Nomiometrics have nothing but the greatest respect for the name Amtrak, for what it represents, for its very strong brand equity, and for the legacy value of the name. You may remember in our last report, first quarter of this year, in brand recognition rankings, Amtrak was in a very respectable 27th position, hammocked between Bounty and Valvoline. And, of course, they both spend a lot more than you do to buttress their brands. So that was the good news. Now, of course, after September 11th and its aftermath, comes some of the bad news. If you open your binders there to the pink tab, you'll see the results of our confidential focus group project on the current status of the Amtrak brand.
Now, Mike, these focus groups were run when?
Sure. Go ahead and interrupt, Steve. You're the chairman of the company, and I'm here in Palo Alto.
Well, I should point out that Mike is with us today via teleconference, not because he didn't want to fly in, but because his... We're all well aware here at the headquarters, as of 1 October, we no longer reimburse vendors for any transportation expenses not incurred on our system. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you, Steve. These groups were run this past Wednesday. Just for reference, that was the day that Dan Rather held his press conference. Okay, you look at the top numbers there, and I don't want to be too unnecessarily alarmist here, but... If those numbers don't make you want to overdose on something, I'd be pretty amazed. You see it very plainly in the second column over. Less than a tenth of our respondents now associate the word Amtrak to the concept of travel, pleasure, convenience, adventure. More than two-thirds relate the word, the verbal node Amtrak to the concepts infection, powder, spores, and deadly. Now, we showed these folks the latest Amtrak TV spots, and then we reran the tests. And here's where it gets very spooky, and I'll be honest, very counterintuitive. After seeing the spots, the percentage associating Amtrak with infections, bacteria, spores, etc., it went up. Now, I like to say that I understand that as a microphenomenon, but I don't. I do think we've got a handle on the macro event here, which I'd sum up in a nutshell this way. People now are either unwilling or unable to separate the concepts Amtrak and Amthrax. Our conclusion, and we're trying to err on the side of caution here, one of the two entities, either the railroad or the disease, it must change its name to survive. Our tentative recommendation, based on the difficulty of renaming, a worldwide ailment is that the corporation engineer an emergency renominalization.
Question?
Yes, Nora?
Is that a name change?
That's what I've always called you.
No, it's emergency renominalization. Mm-hmm. A name change.
Well, if you want to oversimplify, it certainly would encompass a name change. But what we're talking about really is a thoroughgoing repositioning that sets the company formerly known as Amtrak on a completely different image vector from other quasi-governmental corporations.
Like the Postal Service.
Particularly the Postal Service. We want to position the railroad as a place where people wear gloves as a sign of elegance, not hysteria. Where this goes beyond my pay grade into the realm of taglines, but as a place where all the surprises are pleasant. We think that would put this company, if you will, back on the right track.
Okay, I don't know about the rest of the folks around this table, but I know that I speak for me when I say that this sounds like a higher priority item even than the track straightening project in Indiana.
Well,
Mike or Steve?
Yes, I'm Steve.
No, I know. I meant this question is for either of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I presume that you've already started generating some possible new names for the enterprise. Would that be correct?
As a matter of fact, we had a DEFCON 3-level brainstorm on Thursday to generate a name palette, which we ran by a second flight of focus groups on Friday. And you have that information at your blue tab. But if you want, I'll walk you through it.
Yeah, please.
Okay. First, just to get you on the conceptual ground with us, we felt that the old name had very strong heritage elements. The M for America, of course, which you can't do better than right now for positive numbers, and the track for, I presume, for train tracks, which describes the business in almost ideographic potency. Okay, so among our possibles, Trackman scored well among 25 to 34s who associated it with pleasure and with video games. Ameritrain scored well. Most people, though, thought it sounded like a chain of gyms. It did sound like a chain of gyms that they wanted to visit, so there would seem to be an opportunity there. But
I think we've got our plate pretty full as it is, just running some trains and canceling others.
Uh-huh. We wanted to test some things with a more 21st century feel. And the top scorer in that phylum was Railiant. It combines, of course, rail with the suggestion of radiant or brilliant, and our groups picked up on that meaning recipe. Many folks thought it was a pun on Reliant, or a misspelling of it, and of course, either way, that's a good concept to be confused with.
As opposed to a virulent ailment endemic to livestock farms.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Finally, our legacy-type names tried to reassert history, heritage, as properties that we can claim.
This would be kind of the opposite of the modern approach?
Mm-hmm. I think it's choice. The North American Railroad Works was our top scorer here, although I would point out the danger area that was sort of exemplified by one African-American woman in our late afternoon group who said she thought it was probably the name of a restaurant that serves overpriced pizza and has a lot of railroad stuff on the walls.
Nora.
Yes, I'm going to go out on a limb here and express an opinion, basically because I'm about to go on maternity leave anyway, but okay. I don't think any of these
renominalizations.
Thank you. Really solve our problem.
Well, they solve our problem of scaring people.
Well, right, but...
Nora, I can't see you, but you don't sound pregnant to me. Yes, we agree with you. We ended up concluding that the ideographic nature of Amtrak was something that we wanted to emulate. So, as you can see on the screen, we took the liberty of designing a typeface for this one. We came out with a very, very strong consensus in favor of American choo-choo. It makes people smile, and which is no small thing these days. It carries warm, nostalgic colors, yet it's very specific. No one has any doubt about the business that a company named American choo-choo is in. It's patriotic. That's why we gave the first word the the red, white, and blue treatment, and then the second half, this is just a rough rendering, but as you can see, the words, they look like puffs of smoke.
Mike, that didn't scare people?
We would back down from that a little in the final execution, yes, but overall, we think it's very strong, and we ask for immediate approval to initiate the pre-renominalization process.
American choo-choo.
Yes, sir.
Mike, I'm taking the temperature of the room here, and I think that we think that this is something that we want to think about over lunch. Why don't we just keep the video connection open and...
And I'll just sit here and let the camera watch me get my email. All right, fine.
Okay, let's say we'll continue this in 2 hours,
okay,
huh?
Great.
Dad, what do you do?
This is the year since 9/11 on Le Show.
We're back, and just to remind you again, coming up on Tuesday, the President of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, and the great Victor Moon. Now, we've been closing our shows with a song, an inspirational moment or two. And today we welcome back in our Los Angeles studio the former lead singer of the hugely successful boy band Boys R Us, Dewey Gordon. Dewey, good to see you again. Last time you were here, you had a song about Elian Gonzalez.
That's right, Larry. Let Elian Stay was the tune. Mm-hmm. And while, of course, it didn't succeed in keeping young Elian Gonzalez in this country, it sure did succeed in moving a lot of units.
Yeah, well, you're here to sing a new song tonight, Dewey, mm-hmm. just being released as a single.
Yes, sir, Mr. King. It's called Where's Your Flag? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel very strongly that as a former member of a very successful so-called boy band, a term, mm-hmm. by the way, that I'm very proud of, that I have an obligation not only to help out the firefighters and the rescue workers in New York.
They're getting the proceeds of this record?
Better yet, Larry, they're getting 100,000 free copies of the record. Yeah. But I also have an obligation to, you know, to show the American people that Dewey Gordon is a serious artist with something serious to say, something that I hope helps to heal old divisions, as well as create some new ones.
Okay, we just got a minute left, Dewey.
Okay, well, I just want to say, Larry, that this song is straight from my heart. Not that every other song I've done hasn't been as well, but, you know,
even more from the heart.
That's right. Yeah.
Dewey Gordon.
Oh, your shelves, they're stocked with goodies. But being in your star is such a drag. 'Cause the red, white, and blue is nowhere in view. Hey, where's your flag? Yeah, your hotel, oh, so very charming. And you know, I really hate to nag. But there's gonna be hissing. Old Glory is missing. Hey, where's your flag? Where's your flag? Doesn't fly from your roof. Where's your flag? You say you love your country, but how about some proof? Oh, it could be a banner or poster. It could be a pin, a decal, or a coaster. But before I buy tires or a toaster, where's your flag? Where's your flag? time's moving. We can't let the economy sag. But before my credit card gets swiped, I gotta get stars and stripes. Hey, where's your flag? Those new cars, they look great in the showroom. I can't even look at the tag. Francis Scott Key, yeah, he said it for me. Hey, where's your flag? Where's your flag? It doesn't sit in your window. It doesn't fly from the roof. Oh, where's your flag? You say you love your country. Well, how about some proof? It could be a banner, a poster, a pin, a decal, or a coaster. But before I buy Friars or a roaster, where's your
Dewey Gordon, Where's Your Flag? It's a new single coming out, this week, huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dewey, just a couple seconds left. You got a prayer for America?
Just that every business establishment that doesn't care enough to fly the flag moves to Afghanistan, Larry. It's not a lot to ask.
Thanks, Dewey. We'll see you tomorrow night. A distinguished panel on the dangers of chemical and biological warfare taking your phone calls, along with Peter Drinkwater, author of the new book, The World's 100 Greatest Delis, from Los Angeles. Good night.
After the first Osama bin Laden videotape was aired by all the news networks, the fear grew that perhaps he was sending coded messages through the video, either through what he was saying or what he was wearing or gestures. And so at the recommendation of the White House, the networks announced they would no longer be airing Osama bin Laden videotapes, although they have relented in recent days. But on the heels of that announcement, some of us who had had experience in Britain, where the IRA leadership was never allowed to be depicted on television or radio, they had to be portrayed by actors. Some of us wondered if perhaps the same strategy might be applied right here.
Oh, okay, Mr. Nidal. Sorry, you're Mr. Nidal, Mr. Ahmed Nidal. You're the actor they hired.
Yes, sir. But okay. I'm sorry. My stage name is Chase W. Ashton.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's not in. That's not on any of our paperwork.
I know. I changed it yesterday.
Okay. Well, as long as you're the right guy.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
That was a bitch of an audition. By the way, I think I was the only guy there who was a pro, and all the rest of them were cab drivers or ran falafel stands or something.
Now, tell me about it. We called the union asking for an agent who represented Arab-looking actors, and they hung up on us.
Oh, listen, don't get me started on the union. They're the ones who made me add the W.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there already was a Chase Ashton, they said.
Okay, anyway, you've been told the drill here?
Well, I think so. I'm reading Osama bin Laden's remarks on the CBS Evening News, so you don't have to show tape of him.
Uh-huh.
What is that, like a government thing?
It's a responsibility thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, look, Dan's coming in any minute. We're going to do at least this first one as a pre-tape, but let's just cry a couple of dry runs, tweak the lighting on the position, make sure your mic is okay.
All right. Am I reading off the prompter there, or do you want me to memorize, or what?
You know what? I think if it's okay with you, reading off the prompter might give you the, you know, the right kind of haunted terrorist look in your eyes.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I read prompter last year on The Guiding Light. Oh. I played Falafel Salesman Number One. He was surly but sensitive.
Okay, so let's just say we're rolling tape, okay. And Jimmy, the floor manager, will give you the countdown.
3, 2.
Excuse me. Excuse me, is there a problem? Do you want the words bigger? Do you need the words bigger?
No, I just didn't hear one.
Ah, right. The one is understood. You'll hear the 3 and the 2.
Uh-huh.
You give yourself your own one.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. In 3, 2, 1.
No, not out loud. Huh? You give it to yourself inside where your head is.
Uh-huh. Got it.
In 3, 2.
The American infidels will die a bloody death, and this is the responsibility of all Muslims to carry out. That is the meaning of the jihad I have...
Hold it.
Problem?
Yeah.
Not loud enough, too loud, because I make adjustments like that. You know, the director I worked for in my Mentos commercial said he'd never seen any...
Chase, you got the job. But it's jihad, not jihad.
Ah, okay. No, I knew the correct pronunciation, uh-huh. But I thought you might want me to, I don't know, play it a little more American.
I think, since this is the news, we probably should err on the side of accurate pronunciation, you know?
Okay.
I think that would make us all feel better about doing this.
Sure.
Also, I think you gotta make him a little less friendly, if you can.
Oh, I can. It's just...
Problem?
Dan's coming in.
Okay.
No, it's just uh-huh. that, you know, my face is going to be on camera, right?
Well, if it's not, we're wasting a lot of money on these lights.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, what?
If people are watching and they think I'm Osama bin Laden, uh-huh. you know, and then the next day they see me in Walgreens...
Dan, this is Chase Ashton.
Chase W. Ashton. It's a union thing.
Chase W., welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Great casting, gentlemen. This fellow looks swarthier than a heifer's freckle. So, we ready to try one here?
Okay, I think we are, Dan.
Good.
Chase, uh-huh. The countdown is for Dan.
All right.
You'll take my cue. Jimmy?
In 3, 2...
You won't hear the...
He knows that.
Terrorist leader Osama bin Laden today issued a new videotape. Played throughout the Middle East on the Al Jazeera satellite channel. In line with new CBS News policy, we will not show you that videotape, but here is part of bin Laden's statement, read by an actor.
The American infidels will die a bloody death, and this is the responsibility of all Muslims to carry out.
Sir?
That is the meaning of the jihad I have...
Jesus. No, sir, please.
Hmm?
You're wearing a microphone. It's not a hollering contest we're running here.
I'm sorry, the director said...
The director now says split the difference, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
While we're stopped, he said an actor?
Yes, sir. I know we're not really in the recreation business. In my book, that's always been a Fox thing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, tell you the truth, I feel teenage groom uneasy about it myself. But it came down marble hard and steroid strong from on high. We show any more bin Laden tapes... And our White House correspondent's going to be filing his stories from the Starbucks and DuPont Circle. So...
No, that's fine, but my my agent said I get billing.
Excuse me?
He said it was a deal-breaker. In a box, he said, Chase W. Ashton as Osama bin Laden. I mean, I did have a box on Guiding Light.
All right, look, why don't we take a quick 5?
You know what, sir? Let me exercise my prerogative as managing editor of this broadcast and suggest something that might just help us all out here. Let's take 10.
All right, Ruby, get me the...
Look, it's okay. Maybe for, you know, security reasons, it's better without a credit.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Picking it up and splitting the difference,
right.
And...
3, 2...
That is the meaning of the jihad I have proclaimed. I say as a proud son of Arabia that we will fight to the last Afghan. Death to America. Dan?
Okay, look, I don't think Osama bin Laden throws it to Dan.
It was on the prompter.
All right, I'll take care of it. Right. Okay, Chase, if you could just let Jimmy take you over and get your sheet teched down. Uh-huh. It's a little white.
Sure, thanks. Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah, Elliot. The Letterman people said no? Well, we expected that, huh? What have you heard from Conan?
I think we'll be okay, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, sir. Well, tell you what let's do. Hmm? Let's monitor the other newscasts extra careful tonight, huh? I don't want our Bin Laden to be more actor-y than theirs.
Done deal.
This is a special report from CPR, Continental Public Radio. After the aftermath, America copes. I'm Milton Getzler in Washington. Week 6 of the world after 9/11, and America's attention was divided between the war on the ground in Afghanistan and the war in the air, specifically the air filters of post offices and government mail handling centers around Washington. Our coverage of the nation gathering its resources to deal and cope with the dual challenges begins with the lingering question of how a free society deals with the threat of terrorism imported like so much falafel from the Middle East. CPR special correspondent Aviva Schlorman introduces us to a man who may not have the answer, but he does think he has at least part of an answer.
Hi, I'm John Rivers, reminding you to buckle up. It's a good look on you.
Rabbi Atala is in his middle 30s. His parents came from Egypt, and he drives a taxi cab in New York City. It's given him an opportunity to view firsthand the effect the attacks have had on his income, but it's also given him time to think about the anti-Muslim backlash and how to lash back at it.
Two things everybody talk about when they get in my cab. Those seatbelt recordings, everybody hates them. And the great sadness, as I call it. And people, they try hard to be open-minded. But, you know, they see my name on the cab license and they look at my beard and you just can feel them clam up and by the way, they shut down the tip department along with it.
While driving a middle-aged woman home to Riverdale from a movie theater, Rabbi Atala had an idea.
You know, changing names, every group has done that. Every group has had people do that. They used to do it for you at Ellis Island or Fire Island or what, somewhere. But then I realized, hey, they're attacking not just Muslims, you know, Sikhs. It's everybody with facial hair. And then it came to me almost like blinking on and off in my head like a traffic light. Shave it off.
Shave it off is the movement Rabbi started in his den. With just an email list and a cranky 6-year-old printer, he's been spreading the word. Oh, yes, and to all of his passengers, too.
See, nothing makes people in this country more suspicious than a beard or a mustache or worse yet, both. You know what I mean? Of all the villains, you know, from Hitler to Saddam Hussein, they all had mustaches. Probably even Attila the Hun. I don't see a picture of him. Or the outlaws in the Old West, they had beards. Nothing says foreigners more than facial hair. I mean, why do you think the razor blade was invented in this country? You see? So shave it off says this, you'll feel better, and everybody around you will relax if you just shave it off.
But weren't the hijackers in the 9/11 disaster mainly clean-shaven? Wasn't that one of their strategies for hiding within our society?
Uh-huh.
Rabbi, wouldn't we have been better off if they hadn't shaved it off?
See, you don't want to get me started on this. You're confusing fact with perception. It may be a fact that they were, you know, as you say, clean-shaven, but the perception is whether you're from Ecuador or Egypt or frigging Uzbekistan, if you've got dark stuff on your face and it's not your skin, something's very wrong.
Rabbi believes the reported downturn in attacks on Arabs and other ethnic types may be signs that shave it off is already taking off. And he has one other movement in mind to reduce the possible backlash against his brothers.
I said, try the hell to learn how to get around in the city you're driving in. See, it pays off in the tip department, too.
This is Joan Rivers. Don't forget to take your belongings.
I'm Aviva Schlorman, with my belongings in New York.
In the wake of 9-1-1, benefit fundraisers have become more common than newsy crawls at the bottom of our television screens. Motion picture executive Harvey Weinstein conceived the recent Concert for New York. Now, television producer Dick Clark is the latest mogul to recruit top-name talent for a new benefit show. Ira Zipkin reports from Los Angeles.
See, the key here is we're living in a new time, so the last thing I want is any credit for the idea. But what I told my friends at the networks and the talent agencies is, you know, the scary thing about what we're going through right now is it all starts off with flu-like symptoms. What do you do when you get those? You think it's the flu. That's when it becomes too late. That's when I thought to myself, if we could just wipe out the flu, flu-like symptoms would become a good warning of something serious, and by then people have the chance to do something about it. And at this point, people have put two and two together, and boom, the Concert Against Flu was born.
Dick Clark is sitting in an office lined with gold records and laminated awards, many of which he invented himself. Looking as perennially young as ever, he's been going through his gold-plated Rolodex to assemble a benefit concert at the Hollywood Bowl early next month.
Now, A, yes, November is late for the bowl. It's an outdoor venue. That's a speed bump. But we're getting 2,000 heaters donated for the occasion. That's the kind of spirit that's going on here right now. You know, Ira, we in the West Coast, we haven't had an opportunity to participate in all the feelings of unity and determination that they've enjoyed back East. I think whatever your color, your politics, raising money to wipe out the cause of 99% of the flu-like symptoms is something that can bring everybody together. And you know, at this point in these times, I gotta say, that's the business we're in, the bringing everybody together business.
Two television networks are discussing carrying the concert against the flu as soon as singers and other performing talent are confirmed. To date, Clark has gotten tentative commitments from a wide range of artists.
Can I tell you who we hope to have on the show? Jewel, Luciano Pavarotti, P. Diddy, the Dixie Chicks, Chris Kattane. I mean, just as a show, it's going to be a knockout. And then, you know, the doctors I've spoken to say it's going to be much easier to conquer the flu first before going on to tackle anthrax or Ebola, things that hide behind flu-like symptoms. So we're hoping by the second annual Concert Against the Flu, we'll have some solid results to show, and I'm sorry if it sounds corny, but that's a good feeling.
The Concert Against the Flu is tentatively scheduled for early November. I'm Ira Zipkin in Hollywood. This special report from Continental Public Radio was made possible with assistance from the Serendipity Foundation. Just helping to make things happen. Next time, a special report on the new Halloween. Now, I'm Milton Getzler, thanking you for joining us on this edition of After the Aftermath. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
Hello. Hey. 41, happy Thanksgiving. This is 43 calling from Camp David. Well, good to hear from you, son. Barbara and I tried to get up there, but no, I know the security's been fierce. Mm-hmm. Laura and the girls just barely made it through. Hey, how is Laura? Oh, she's fine. You know, she's off reading. Mm-hmm. I swear if books hadn't existed when Laura came along, she would have had to have invented them. Well, we're talking about Laura, 43. Uh-huh. Nice touch to have her do your radio address last week, but you want to make sure you're not planning to do that again.
No, I'm not.
But having your wife do your radio address, I don't know, seems sort of Jimmy Carter-ish, don't you think?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, congratulations on a successful little war. How do you feel?
Oh, okay, a little sinus thing because of the humidity here at Camp David. Never was my plan to spend so much time here, you know, but after September 11th, the whole vacation picture for me changed.
Mint, how do you feel about Rumsfeld now?
Well, what can I say? I mean, he's on TV every day. Tommy Thompson, you can't even see with pay cable. So that's how we feel about Don. He's just got natural star power, you know. He's like an Anglo Jose Canseco. Well, hate to say I told you so, but now Colin's the guy that gets my panties in a twist, you know. I mean, he slows down our initial military sweep because supposedly we don't have a plan in place for a multi-ethnic post-Taliban government. And then, you know, when the handcuffs finally come off the military and it turns out that we don't have a plan for a multi-ethnic post-Taliban government, where's Colin? Yeah, somewhere in the Middle East, meddling, you know? Ah, Colin's a good man. Oh, please, your big mistake, aside from violating no new taxes, was listening to Colin. Otherwise, Saddam Hussein wouldn't be running Iraq today. He'd be running a falafel stand in military prison. Don't think they have falafel stands. Well, listen, 43, don't let the right-wing crazies put too much vermouth into the national martini here. We had no mandate for going after Saddam, and you still don't. Mm. You attack him, and the United States is more alone than Dan Quayle at a Phi Beta Kappa reunion. Well, look, I'm very mindful that the evil ones may be heading for the hills, you know, digging in, daring us to smoke them out, run them down. You know, it may look like we're winning, but it may be more ephemeral than a Mets winning streak in May. I'm aware of that. But 43, you just stay the course. You get Bin Laden's corpse verified by, you know, the Surgeon General, if you have to, and then you turn your focus to the economy. See, that's where the events got the better of me. I got distracted by the Kurds. Yeah, well, look, it's interesting to have Thanksgiving without you guys. Oh, both know you had a limited number of clearances under the new security structure. You know, the Secret Service is pushing me hard. Mm-hmm. They got me to cancel the tours of the White House for the foreseeable future. Yeah, well, if it was up to them, you'd be delivering this State of the Union address in an empty House chamber, and the congressman would be watching you on TV from home. Now, would it... Well, that's kind of what I wanted to bounce off of you. We were thinking about a wartime State of the Union in an empty House chamber. I mean, I've already done the speech to a joint session of Congress, so this would be something new. Uh-huh. And since we're not going to have Dick Cheney sitting behind me anyway, you know, dispensing with the rest of them just seems prudent. But the question we can't seem to get a consensus on is, are there applause lines? And if so, where's the applause supposed to be coming from? Is this something the Secret Service is pushing because they can't be sure of every single member of Congress? No, this comes from Ashcroft. You know, he had a dream of a State of the Union in an empty building and thought, if ever there was a time to try it, you know? Listen, he's not the only one to have that dream, but you're walking a delicate line here, 43. The folks who want you to open the government back up like a Friday night pep rally are just waiting for you to make one wrong move. Oh, I know it. Laura's already on my back about closing down the White House tour. She's afraid it's going to push back her network special a good year or two. Well, she's wrong about that. Not being open for regular tours just makes a TV tour that much more valuable. You tell her that. Yes, sir. As to this State of the Union thing, I think you might want to have a few of the senior congressional leaders attend, sort of a symbolic presence by Congress. After all, it is their building. Well, that was Ashcroft's other idea. What's that? Why not just do the State of the Union from an undisclosed, secure location? Let me think about that one. Better get back before your mom starts giving more leftover turkey to Millie if that dog gets one more upset stomach before Monday. Well, give me a call first of the week, will you? Will do. And 43? Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. You too, huh? You know, I have so much to be grateful for. You and Mom, beautiful family, a war that's going to end better than yours, a 90% approval rating I'm going to be able to keep. Talk to you Monday. Bye-bye.
Wow, it's freezing out there.
It sure is.
And what a pain in the neck to have to carry an umbrella and wear a warm coat.
Mm-hmm. And you're still soaking by the time you get indoors.
I sure wish there was something we could wear that could give us head-to-toe protection against the elements all winter long.
Dream on.
Now, staying fashionable can be as patriotic as staying warm. Liberty Veils introduces the hottest thing for wintertime comfort since the Afghan, the amazing burqa. Long worn by Afghani women for comfort and safety, now this versatile garment is available in this country for the first time, thanks to a special purchase from the leading Afghani designer, Edizioni Talavani. The amazing burqa offers all-in-one protection against the elements and everything else. And now, thanks to deliveries from the newly liberated North, the amazing burqa explodes in a riot of hot colors, from blackout black to Himalaya blue.
Wow, carrying all these groceries in the rain was a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And the see-through mesh is a lifesaver.
I'm impressed. These burqas really are amazing.
2 months ago, the amazing burqa was a must-have fashion essential from one end of Afghanistan to the other. Now, thanks to this special end-of-season offer, an amazing burqa can be yours for a fraction of what it used to cost poor women. Specify your choice of colors and whether machine washable nylon or hand-finished linen. When you order your amazing burqa, and a portion of the proceeds will go to the Red Cross Fund for other causes. Buying anything helps your country right now, but buying an amazing burqa helps you too. So call now or point your browser to libertyveils.com and order your amazing burqa today. And a note for Santa. The amazing burqa makes a perfect gift. One size fits everything.
And in the headlong rush, back to normalcy, ladies and gentlemen, Time Magazine's Person of the Year, New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, as his probably his last official act, has given his endorsement to a plan to build not one, but two new $850 million stadia, one for the Yankees, one for the Mets. Taxpayer money? Yeah, some. How else are you going to pay the players' salaries? Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this Year in Rebuke edition of the show. The program returns, well, the normal program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network on shortwave at WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, around North America on XM satellite radio, and around the world on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like never going back to normal again if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.